Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We have the very fine reporter, former writer from the Sun Sentinel. I think actually a former Gator, but now ACC Network and ESPN. I can't watch either one right now. We're in purgatory because DirecTV is shut out from ESPN and the ACC Network. And I did the ACC Network this afternoon, and I couldn't watch it. At any rate, sooner or later, they'll solve it, I hope. Otherwise, I guess I'll dump DirecTV. I don't know. At any rate, here comes Andrea Adelson is with us. Double A, how are you this evening? A little bit cooler than Saturday afternoon when I saw you?
Joe, oh my gosh. I have to give a major shout out to Josh Darrow, who got me a towel on the sideline because I was so drenched in sweat. The water was like getting onto my glasses as I was standing there to do my live hit for the ACC Network. And it was so hot. My little iPad where I was doing my hit from overheated and shut off. It was like, iPad must cool down. I'm like, me too, iPad, but I got to work. So I'm a lot cooler now in my office here in the air conditioning.
Yeah, that was sweltering.
It was.
I don't know that I've sweat so much during a game since the old Orange Bowl days. At any rate, I'll start, and Don is with us. Your overall impression of what you saw from the University of Miami?
So, Joe, I can only imagine the folks who've called in and the absolute sheer joy they must have, not just in the victory, because it was a dominant performance from start to finish, but the fact that Hurricanes took over the Swamp and you could hear "Let's Go Canes" throughout that stadium, starting in the third quarter on. I think that, to me, is something that I did not anticipate happening before the game, that Florida fans would basically do surrender Cobra and allow Miami fans to basically, be louder than them in their own home stadium. I guess Florida fans really don't have much to cheer for based on that performance. But I think, you know, the post-game scene and watching Mario celebrating the way that he was, bringing players over to the fans as a thank you to the fans for bringing the noise, for showing up in large numbers despite having a limited quantity of tickets from the University of Florida, is something that I won't forget. The performance on field was special, but I think the celebration afterward is something that will stay with me because it has been so long since Miami won in that stadium, obviously, but I think delivered the type of performance that we've all been waiting on in such emphatic fashion, that they earned every bit of that celebration.
So, Andrea, what do you think is going on in Gainesville? What are the conversations, the carnage that Miami left up there? How does that leave the program?
Yeah, it's a great question, you know, because I sat with Billy Napier mid-August in his office, and he told me with a straight face that this was the best team he's had since he's been at Florida and that he's done enough overhauling the roster and the coaching staff that they were going to have better performance. I thought Florida would be competitive in the game. They were completely not competitive. And I think that's what set alarm bells ringing to the fan base. I don't know if the fans came in there expecting a dominant win. I think they came in there expecting a competitive game and that Florida could maybe pull out if it went down to the wire. Florida wasn't even in the game from the beginning. And so the folks that I've talked to at Florida acknowledge that performance is unacceptable. They're not ready in the administration anyway to fire him like right now, but certainly they have to improve on what they showed Saturday, because, you know, as Joe alluded to, I did go to the University of Florida when Steve Spurrier was the head coach, and nobody is used to watching Florida get run out of their own home stadium, particularly to a rival, the way that Miami did it. And the crowd was out of it from the very beginning. That was not the loudest I've ever heard Florida, far from it. I turned to a friend of mine I was sitting next to, and I said, where's the crowd? This isn't even loud. This is from the beginning of the game. So I understand what Cam Ward was saying afterward. But, you know, Florida has kind of put all of their eggs in this Billy Napier basket, waiting and hoping for him to kind of turn things around, believing that maybe Graham Wirtz was going to be okay, that the offensive line and defensive line had made enough progress. And we saw none of that on Saturday. And so I think that there's a lot more pressure on Billy Napier than there was before the game. That, to me, was the absolute worst-case scenario for Billy Napier coming out of that game.
I was expecting that it was going to be a close game, probably decided in the fourth quarter. And then somewhere in this, I don't know, late first quarter, second quarter, in a commercial, I told Don, I said, gee, if we don't make any mistakes, we're going to beat this team. They can't beat us or beat Miami. Were you more surprised by the play of Cam Ward or the dominance in the trenches by Miami?
Oh, boy, Joe, that's a great question. I was expecting that out of Cam Ward. We saw it in the spring. I mean, what we saw Saturday is exactly what we saw in the spring game, maybe even better, because they were playing against another opponent on the road in what should have been a hostile environment. It turned out not to be a hostile environment. I think, to me, it was the defensive front without Reuben Bain, you know, who goes down early in that game. I thought Miami would be impressive on the offensive line. It was the defensive line that Mario has worked hard to rebuild and get some depth there to the point where they could be just as dominant on that side of the ball as what he thought they could be on the offensive line. So I expected the offensive line to be good. I expected Cam to be good. So to me, the most surprising part was without Reuben Bain, how dominant Miami was on that defensive front. Tyler Barron was unblockable in that game, and I thought they were able to get a really nice rotation going with the players that they had up front. The fact that they were able to get after Graham Mertz and completely shut down Johnson, except for that one play that went around the edge, to me is indicative of where Miami can be as the season moves forward. So I would say that was probably the most surprising part for me.
If you're Mario Cristobal, but you always wanted to be a head coach, Andrea, so you're giving you the head coaching title right now, how do you prepare this football team to go from playing the University of Florida to playing FAMU?
Yeah, you know, it's going to take a good coaching job to make sure these guys are prepared and focused and not reading the press clippings and not thinking about such a big win, right? Because you want to avoid that letdown factor. I think when you have leaders like Cam Ward, it gets a little bit easier because you know that you've got guys who are completely locked in and focused and came to Miami with one goal in mind, and that's to play for a national championship. You know, Mish Powell reiterated that, by the way, in his post-game comments. You know, he said, this is one game. We plan on playing 16 more. And I asked him a follow-up to that. I'm like, does this mean national championship? He's like, yeah, isn't that the number we have to get to? He knows what it takes. He was just on a team that played for a national championship. So when you've got guys who are already saying, this is great for 1 week, but we know there's a lot of season left to play. That's what you want to hear out of your players. That's the mindset that you want them to have. But you guys know as well as I do that this team has started strong and then not played well in a game where we were expecting them to play well. and the emotions get to you, and then you drop a game you're not supposed to, and then things kind of spiral. I don't think that's going to happen with Florida A&M. You know, Miami's third team could go out there and win the game. It's just, you know, the matchup of an FCS versus where Miami is as a program. And that's not a knock on Florida A&M. They've done a really nice job with their program. It's just that Miami, to me right now, again, I know it's a week and I'm not trying to get overhyped here, but it just looked and felt different than what we've seen even last year off a 4-0 start, even in 17 when it was 10-0. It felt different because of the, I think, mindset and mentality with which Miami played this game. They have to recreate that over the course of an entire season. And I think with the players that they have, they will have the ability to do that. And now with Mario having gone through this and understanding maybe some of the hiccups of the first couple of seasons, what needs to be done from that mentality standpoint will, I think, put Miami in a better position moving forward.
Well, I think what's going to put him in that position, compared to the last time they made a great run, is going to be the quarterback position, Cam Ward, because he is not going to be nonchalant in anything that mm-hmm. he does. He is all business, and we've said this before. Everybody knows this. It's like the Tom Brady effect or Dan Marino. When your quarterback is the guy, the alpha guy, the guy that's working the hardest, then Tim Tebow was that way in Florida, then everybody else seems to follow. And I know there's going to be a game somewhere along the line where they're flat, where they get challenged. Maybe they get upset somewhere along the line. But there's going to be a game that they're supposed to win that probably they look up at the scoreboard in the fourth quarter and they're going to need Cam Ward to take them for an edge of your seat rescue.
Yeah, and you know, not to bring up a rival, but Jordan Travis was the same for Florida State. And look at what's happened to them without Jordan Travis in their last three games. So I agree with you, the importance of having that quarterback who is bringing everybody along with them and who wants that responsibility, who has embraced it, right? The fact that he calls the team over and talks to them before they load the buses to get to the stadium on Saturday. That's exactly what you want from your quarterback. And so, you know, Mario has been talking about this since Cam's arrival, and he even mentioned this in his post-game press conference. You know, you guys are probably wondering, we've talked a lot about Cam Ward and, you know, was he going to be what we've said? Yeah, I mean, obviously he was. Now, that's not to say he's perfect. We saw, you know, a pick that he threw that I'm sure he wants to have back, but it's the way that he leads this team that makes you believe, yeah, I can totally see exactly what everybody has been talking about in regards to that leadership. It's that intangible, right, that makes championship teams. And when you have it from the quarterback position, then it becomes a little bit easier for everybody to fall in line and to do their jobs to the best of their ability. And so I completely agree with you. I was on right after you on ACCPM, and I can't remember. It was Ken Dorsey, must be the last quarterback that Miami had who was the alpha. And even Ken shared that, you know, with Ed Reed and some of the other guys on that team, but he was a quarterback that everybody believed in. And there have been some nice quarterbacks that Miami has had, but nobody that has brought that intangible to the locker room, I think, that we've seen. Again, it's early, but it's not just in the game. It's everything that we've heard since his arrival in January.
So I think one group that has gone, and I get it, believe me, but this Miami defense, you talk about the day that they have. I think that, you know, that's whenever quarterback play is outstanding, which it was on Saturday, and the offenses always usually seem to get the lead in the story. But this defense and what Coach Guidry did, and Andrea, you mentioned it early, you know, no Bane. But you look at what Miami's defense did to a Florida offense, and Graham Mertz was one of the most in the entire country efficient guys and had a 73% completion. Miami held him to 55%. He was, what, 11 of 20? And they did nothing. They threw the ball for 122 yards on the day. That was between both he and the backup. So when you look at the fact that the Miami defense held Florida to 261 yards for the day. I mean, that's almost unheard of. I would have never thought that that would have happened. And then you go down the list and you look at what they were one of. They held them to one of nine on third down conversions. And, you know, the sack total was Miami had three sacks. And they really just swarmed Florida. And Coach Guidry and that defensive staff, they had as equally a good a plan as Coach Dawson did.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I have to give Mario credit for making these moves last year and bringing in Shannon Dawson and Lance Guidry. I mean, I don't really think that they are more perfect fits for what Miami wants to do and how Mario has kind of envisioned what he wants the program to look like, particularly with Lance Guidry and the job that he has done, the exotic schemes, the development of the linebackers, by the way, has been so crucial over the last couple of seasons for this program and the depth now they have on the defensive line. And I think there was a big question mark about the secondary coming into it, right? How are they going to hold up? What was the depth going to look like there? The fact that they didn't allow any explosives at all in the passing game, that they limited their best receiver, Trey Wilson, to basically dinks and dunks, is a huge credit to the job that they were able to do as an entire team, right? And that's the thing also, when you watch Miami play in this game, is they played like a team, right? There wasn't any individuals out there. And I think when you're watching Florida State struggle, or you're watching Florida struggle, or some of these other teams that are struggling right now, or you're scratching your head and you're saying, wait a minute, like what's happening here? Florida State is not playing like a team. Florida's not playing like a team, but Miami in that first game played like a cohesive unit on the offensive and the defensive side of the ball. And so when you have that complementary football, it just makes things easier for your offense, and it certainly makes things easier for your defense. And when the offense is able to run the ball efficiently, it's not just that they're going three plays and they're scoring, right? You've got balance on the offense going. Your defense isn't sitting out there on the field for 40 minutes, right? So when you've got the complementary football going, and oh, by the way, special teams was great too, that's when you know you've got the makings of a really good team, T-E-A-M team, and that's what we saw in week one.
I'm glad you brought up the development, because I do think there are players on this roster that have developed with this staff, like a Jaden Harris, a Wesley Bissaint, Daryl Porter, Markeith Williams made a couple of plays. There are a bunch of guys that were on this roster, young players that I think are developing. Andrea, before we let you go, what is going on in the ACC? Okay, we know what happened with Miami and Florida. Florida State 0-2. Clemson got drilled by Georgia. North Carolina State struggled with West Carolina. They get Tennessee. North Carolina got past Minnesota. Where is the league today going into week two and a half or three, whatever it is?
This is Miami's league to own. I mean, yeah. I'm sorry, but if you look at the results, if you look at what Miami did in week one, and you look at the way the schedule is going to unfold for Miami, this should be theirs for the taking. You know, Florida State doesn't know who they are right now, and I don't know what they're going to do to fix it, number one. They have no quarterback that they can build around, and their offensive and defensive lines are not what they expected them to be. Clemson, okay, they get drilled by Georgia. Is anyone surprised? No. Clemson is, I think, who we thought, right? Offense still struggling, defense pretty good, but isn't going to be able to hold up for 40 minutes in a game when the offense can't do anything. We'll see about NC State this weekend. I'll give them a pass. We'll see what they do against Tennessee. Virginia Tech losing to Vanderbilt? What? The most experienced team coming back losing on the road to Vanderbilt? Suddenly that came on a Friday night in Miami. You think about it. Okay, I got to like Miami's chances just a little bit more. So as I'm going down the list, we're mentioning some flaws. Now, Georgia Tech looks pretty good. Miami fans probably don't want to hear that, but they do. All right, Louisville, we'll see what happens with them. They're usually a very well-coached team, schemed up very well by Jeff Rom. So there's still some other teams out there, I think, in the ACC that will have the capability of being a top-tier team. It's just that the teams that we expected to be in that conversation with Miami look a little bit different after 1 week. But again, it's just a week. We'll see how everybody responds here moving forward.
All right. Very good. Thank you for taking the time to join us here tonight here in South Florida. We can hear you here. We just can't see you on ESPN. Unless you don't have DirecTV there, I guess. Yeah, like Hulu or something. You're in business.
I have DirecTV too, Josie, so I feel your pain.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you for being with us. Great to see you this past weekend. Hope to see you in the near future.
I think you will. Something tells me you'll see me soon.
Okay. Very good.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Andrea Adelson joining us on the show.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.